We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Service where we take up the tithes and the offerings. So Ackley, our usher, is going to be coming around. He's got the offering bag with extra pens and envelopes. Whatever you may need, feel free to flag him down. He would be glad to assist you. Or we have giving set up through PayPal or through Cash App, but you have to enter the code Redemption Plano. We're getting so many options, it's starting to confuse me. But we want to make you feel as comfortable as possible, whatever way you feel led to give. In these times, if touching cash money is weird, we don't want to make you do that. But we do want to make sure that you know that the offering we give is just a part of our worship. It's not an obligation. It's not a tax. You're not paying for your admission. God is free to everyone. And he blesses us with lots of different ways to worship him, to show our appreciation for him, because all that we have comes from him. So if you feel led to give, thank you very much. God bless you. Don't feel obligated. But thanks to your generosity, we are blessed to be able to bless others and reach out to our community and all around the world. God is at work doing mighty things through the Redemption Church in Plano, Texas, and thank you for being a part of that. And God's doing mighty things all over the place. You may remember a couple weeks ago, Jared Breakiron was here. He gave us a great message. He preached to us. Well, Pastor Chris isn't here today. He's actually down with Pastor Breakiron at his church. So God's blessing that church and building that church. That's awesome. Keep them in your prayers. God is at work, even in these weird times. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And as the body of Christ, it's time for us to be at work too. All right, I'm going to pray briefly, and then we're going to continue with our service. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for every person here today. Thank you for every person tuning in online. Thank you for their generosity. Thank you for all that you bless us with, Lord. Please receive this offering. Multiply it and use it to build your kingdom. Lord, direct it where it is needed and do mighty things with it and receive all the glory, Lord. I pray that you would bless every person here today. Bless every person tuning in online. Lord, bless every part of their lives. Be at work in their lives. Be glorified in their lives, Lord, and help us all to live lives that bring glory to your name and share your love with the world and do mighty things, all for your glory, God, in all that we do. Let it all be for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Says on my notes, stand around awkwardly for 45 seconds, so I'm timing that out. Well, with or without the video, welcome to Redemption Church. We are so glad to see you all in the house of God today. Are you glad to be here at Redemption Church? Yes! Amen. Good. Me too. I sang too much there. Not too much. If you're tuning in online, thank you for tuning in. We're glad you're there. If you would, please leave a comment or react in some way so that we know you're there. We would love to connect with you. We'd love to see you here in the building sometime. But for now, we're glad you're there. Consider sharing the video so that other people can find it. You have joined us today in the middle of our lighthearted, carefree summer sermon series entitled Funerals. Yes, it's the Funerals Sermon Series. My name is Marshall Blessing. I am blessed to serve as care pastor here at Redemption Church, and I put the fun in funerals. So far, it's been a really good series, all right? The funerals, that term can tend to sort of bring down a room. They don't sound like a fun thing. They don't usually bring a smile to people's face. But there's a lot we can learn. And in this series, we've been looking at some of the more important funerals throughout the Bible. In the first week, we talked about Abel, who was the first person who died in the Bible. And we learned that even through funerals, through times of tragedy, we can look to God's promises and trust in him. Then the next week, we talked about King Uzziah. In the year that King Uzziah died, at any time, we can look to God and see him glorified and exalted. He is always on the throne. He is always God above all. Last week, Pastor Chris told us about how Jesus was a terrible guest at funerals. That was a great message, right? Yeah. If you missed any of them, I encourage you to go online. They're on our website. They're on posted on YouTube. Go check them out. And if you think they might bless somebody, share them with a friend. We always love the Word of God getting shared. Today, we are going to talk about one of potentially the most important funerals in the Old Testament. See if you can guess who that funeral was for. If you're watching online, maybe leave a comment of who you think might have had the most important funeral in the Old Testament. Who do you think that would be? Here's a hint. It wasn't anybody that we've talked about already, and it wasn't a king. Who do you think that might be? I'll get to that in just a moment. First, I want to talk about what is a funeral for? We've mentioned in past weeks that a funeral is for the survivors. It's not for the person that died. They're gone. The funeral itself is for the survivors, for the people still alive. But what is the funeral for? What should a funeral do? Well, a funeral does lots of things. A funeral can help to give us a sense of closure. It can be a way for us to say goodbye. It's a way for us to honor the life and the memory of a person. A funeral can do a lot of things. A funeral can cause really terrible traffic for a lot of people. That's not what it's for, but that's another thing a funeral can do. But what is a funeral for? What should a funeral do? Funerals mark a transition. There is a transition taking place at a funeral for everybody involved. The person who's passed away has already transitioned from life into death, but everybody else has to transition from a life with that person to a life without that person. And whenever we go through a transition, there are three things that can help us through it. And a funeral should provide those three things. We're going to talk about those three things today. But a funeral marks a transition. Transitions aren't always easy, especially when we're forced to make a transition that we didn't initiate. Like when suddenly we come to a point and things have to change, that can be a difficult thing to work through, to move through. People don't generally like change. And that's why we don't really like funerals. They're hard. They're difficult. Who likes funerals? We talked about this a little bit in a previous week. I've never really met like one of those goth sort of Addams Family people that are real morbid and are like, "Ooh, Morticia, there's a funeral today. Ooh, I wonder." No, I don't think anybody really feels that way. In general, people don't like funerals. Maybe undertakers would. They're like, "Oh, business. Business is good." Maybe. But in general, it's okay to laugh. I know we're talking about funerals, but I give you permission. In general, we don't like funerals. Pastor Chris talked in a previous week about how difficult it is to plan a funeral. You know, especially when you're grieving and you're going through a hard time to then have to plan and work out how this funeral is going to be put together. That's a difficult thing. Now, imagine officiating a funeral, being the guy that stands up there and goes through the ceremony. When I became care pastor, when I was invited to become care pastor here at Redemption Church, I sort of thought through some of the things that I would have to do and I might be asked to do as care pastor. I figured go and meet with people and pray with people and go meet needs. Yeah, great. That's what a care pastor does. I like doing that. I'm all on board. Engaging in other just general church activities, yes, of course. Getting up here and preaching a sermon, maybe. That might happen someday. Have to think about that one. Participating in baptisms, Yes, maybe. I hope so. That's great. I love doing that. Maybe I'll get to do some of that someday. Maybe participate in a wedding. That'd be great. Those are wonderful. I don't think anyone would ever ask me, but you never know. Who knows? God's great. So all these wonderful things I might get to participate in, stepping into the role of care pastor. It never once crossed my mind that anyone would ask me to officiate a funeral. And then 2 years ago, it totally happened. Yikes. So this was a person that I had met through the benevolence ministry here at Redemption Church. They passed away, and the family contacted me and asked me if I would do the funeral. Well, I mean, sure, right? We here at Redemption Church, we want to be a church that's willing. We're always willing to help. We want to pitch in and say yes whenever we can. I've been to funerals. I know how they go. How hard could this be? So I said, yes, I would be glad to help y'all out. And just so you know, it wasn't because they were impressed previously with anything great I did. They didn't really have anybody else. So they came and asked me, and so what could I do? I said, yeah, sure, we can do this. I imagined to myself that it would probably be a small group. There probably wouldn't be that many people there. Turns out this person had kind of a big family and a lot of friends. It turned out to be a much larger group than I expected. Have you ever been in a situation where you see somebody do something and you think to yourself, oh, that looks easy, I could probably do that. And then later find yourself in a position to actually do that thing and realize, I have no idea how to do this. That was me. That I had put myself in that situation. How hard can it be? You just stand up, you say, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, and then from that point onward, I have no idea what happens next. But I'd agreed to do it. I didn't know much about this family. I didn't know what denomination they were. I didn't know what they expected to have happen at this funeral. I asked them, hey, do you guys have anything that you would like? Do you have any plans for how this should go? And they said, no, we figured you could handle that. You probably know what you're doing. You got this. And I did not have this. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. And in a way, I think I kind of felt, in a way, like Joshua in the Bible felt. Joshua was Moses' assistant. He was a prominent guy as they were going through the wilderness. And then suddenly Joshua finds out that there's going to be a funeral and that he was going to be in charge. What do you do next? What are you going to do, Joshua? I felt a little bit like that. Just to refresh, so the Israelites had escaped from Egypt. God had sent the 10 plagues. Pharaoh had let them free. They crossed through the Red Sea, and it closed in over Pharaoh's army. And then the Israelites were going through the wilderness. And Joshua was Moses' assistant at this time. He even went up partway on Sinai as Moses received the 10 commandments. Joshua had been by Moses' side throughout their entire trip through the wilderness. And Joshua had probably been to several funerals. The entire generation that left Egypt had all passed away. Aaron, Moses' brother, the first high priest, had passed away. But now, as they had almost made it back to the promised land, Joshua finds out that Moses is going to die. He is not permitted to enter the promised land. And now it's going to be Joshua's turn to lead these people, to take over. He has to handle everything that happens next. Man, that is a huge responsibility. That is a huge transition, right? Well, fortunately, funerals give us three things that can help us through any transition. So even if you're not dealing with the transition of a loss in your life, we deal with transitions in our life all the time. And whenever we face a transition, we would benefit from these three things I'm about to talk about. Number one is perspective. We need perspective. Where are we and how did we get here? God gave Moses some amazing perspective. Moses wasn't permitted to enter the promised land because he had kind of taken some credit for a miracle that God had performed. And so God said, sorry, Moses, you're not going into the promised land. You're going to pass away before they cross the river. But just before that, go climb up on a mountain, Mount Nebo, and I will show you the promised land. So Moses went up on this mountain, and he got to look at all the promised land that the children of Israel were going to inherit. Now that's some perspective. God showed him, look, Moses, you're not going to get to go there, but all your hard work, all that you've done over these many years leading these people, it is going to amount to something. They are entering this land that I am giving them. You brought them here so that you at least get to see it. Joshua already had the perspective of knowing this land that they had been promised because he was one of the original 12 spies that had been sent into the land. He had been there. He was one of the two that came back with a good report that said, yeah, this is the place. This place is awesome. God's going to lead us into it. He's going to care for us as we go in and take it over. It's going to be great. So Joshua already had the perspective of what the promise was. Furthermore, he had been with Moses throughout his life. And looking back on Moses' life gave the Israelites perspective on all that God had brought them through up to this point. God had brought them through a lot, through a sea. He had helped them overcome Pharaoh's army. He had helped them escape from that. He had fed them in the wilderness. He'd given them manna. He'd given them water to drink. He had been with them all along the way, leading them, guiding them, helping them so that their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out. He had helped them overcome armies and countries that stood in their way and tried to prevent them from reaching the promised land. And now they were on the bank of the river that was the border of this land that they had been promised. God had brought them through all of that. That's where they stood at this moment. That was their perspective. We need perspective. It's always valuable to take a moment and look at where we're at and how did we get here. God has brought us through a lot. God has been with us through everything that we've experienced. And it's good to remind ourselves and refresh ourselves in all that God has done. Sometimes you might find yourself in a position where you're not real happy with where you're at. But it's still good to take a look around and remember, how did I get here? At what point did I make decisions that led me to a place that I'm not so happy with? And to remember that even in whatever place we find ourselves, God is always there with us, and God always has a way for us to go. We need perspective. We need to be aware of where we're at and how did we get there. Perspective can help give us direction. That's the second thing we need whenever we face a big transition. Perspective is where we've been, how we got there, where we're at right now. Direction is where we're going. Because at a transition, that's a moment where things can change. The direction we've been headed in the past doesn't necessarily have to be the direction we're headed in the future. We have a choice to make. If we're not happy with where we're at this moment, we can turn around. We can repent and head in a new direction. Even if we were on a good path up till now, when we suddenly are faced with a big transition, when we're faced with a big loss, sometimes there can be a temptation to stop, to shut down, to maybe not continue where we were headed before. But even that is a direction. Without knowing where we want to try and be going, we can end up headed in the wrong direction. And even not going anywhere, choosing to just stop and not move on, even that can be the wrong direction. When we lose someone, we can find ourselves asking, where do we go from here? What do we do next? Well, God always has an answer for us. God is always there with us, and he can always provide us with direction. Joshua knew where he had to go. Joshua's direction was clear. Moses had reiterated it to him time and again. Moses' whole life bringing the people through the wilderness, the whole point was that God was leading them to this promised land. Joshua knew where he was headed. He knew what direction he was supposed to go. And if all that wasn't enough, God himself told him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. This is God speaking to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. Get ready, Joshua, because where I'm sending you is across that river into the promised land. That's where we go next. That is your direction. Whenever we face a time of transition, we need to consider, where are we going next? Is this where God's calling us to go? Who is God calling us to be? What is God's direction for our life? If that wasn't the direction we were really headed before, well, then we need a transition, and we need to redirect, because we need to be in line with God's direction. God's calling you. Who is he calling you to be? Are you headed in that direction? In the book of Luke, Jesus tries to give a man some direction on his life. Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 59. This is Jesus talking. He said to another man, follow me. That's your direction. Follow me. Come on. But the other man, he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Verse 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I told you, Jesus was a terrible guest at funerals. See, that's, no. Really, Jesus is giving that man direction. You're at a point of transition, sir. Do you know who you are called to be? Do you know what you are called to do? You got the opportunity right now to follow me. This is Jesus. He is there on earth right now. You can follow him. You are called, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That is your direction. That's what you should be doing. That's what we should all be doing in our own way. All right? So we need direction on our life. When we come to a point where things are changing, where there's a transition, we need to always make sure, no matter where we've been, that where we're headed next is in line with God's call on us. To share his love, to share the good news, to proclaim the kingdom of God wherever we go and whatever we do. Jesus is pointing the direction for all of us. Proclaim the kingdom of God. We all know that, right? That's easy to say. The thing is, sometimes we need some motivation, especially in times of transition, especially in times of loss, because when you're grieving, when it hurts, it's real easy to shut down and not really want to do anything. Especially, you don't feel like necessarily sharing good news. Man, this in difficult times. No, it doesn't feel. It's hard to work up the motivation to go and be who you're called to be. So that is the third thing that we need in times of transition. And that is the third thing that funerals can give us. It's motivation. Man, there's nothing like a good motivational funeral speech. You know what I'm talking about? Right? Have you ever gone to a funeral and it just stirs you up? No? No, not so much. That's not really what we think of when we think of what we hear at funerals. But funerals do and can provide us with motivation. First and foremost, funerals remind us that we're mortal, that we got a limited time. So it's natural to have grief. It's natural to mourn for somebody. But at the same time, we got to keep in mind, God's called us to do something, and we only have a limited time to do it. So we need to be working through what we're feeling and then get back on the horse, get back out there and do what God calls us to do. It's not enough to know what direction to go. We have to actually go. We have to actually do something. I'm not saying it's wrong to mourn or to take some time to grieve someone you've lost. The people of Israel grieved for Moses for 30 days. That makes sense. He had led these people for 80 years plus. He had been their leader and their spiritual advisor. He was a great man. He talked with God face to face. And now he was gone. But after that time, God said, get ready. Get up. It's time. You guys need to cross that river and step into the promise that I've given you. At some point, we have to make the transition. It's not really a transitional moment if we never change, if we never take that step to move on into the next phase of our life, into the next phase of what God is calling us to. There's an interesting thing that happened at Moses' funeral. So, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 6, after Moses went up on the mountain and got to see the promised land, it says that he, God, buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. No one knows where Moses' grave is. That's sort of weird. You would think Moses, this great man, he would have this big, elaborate funeral, right? And his grave is still there to this day, and everybody knows where it's at. No, God himself buried Moses, and nobody knows where his grave is. But it gets weirder. Here's a verse that a lot of people maybe sort of gloss over and don't really take time to pay attention to. It comes from the book of Jude. All right, this is in the New Testament, close to the end of the Bible. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Wait a second, what's going on here? The archangel Michael was fighting with the devil over Moses' body. So God sent the angel to go and wrestle Moses' body away from the devil. What? Man, that's weird. Did you realize it said that? That it talked about that in the Bible? Why? Why would that happen? Well, God knew that the enemy does not want you to be motivated. He does not want the people of God to move on. He doesn't want them to make the transition and step into the promises of God. So he'll do anything he can. He'll use anything he can to stop us and slow us down and distract us. If Moses' body had been just given back to the people, they probably would have wanted to have this big, elaborate funeral service. They might have wanted to carry it with them and bury him in the promised land. But God said, no, Moses, you don't get to go into the promised land. And that might have kept them from moving on. They might have buried it and made a big shrine. This is the grave of Moses. And hey, everybody, let's hang out here. You know, well, this is where Moses is buried. This place is kind of cool. Maybe we ought to live here. What do we need to go across the river for? This was good enough for Moses to die in. Let's all just live here. No, God didn't want any of that. He didn't want anything to distract his people from making that transition and stepping into the promise that he had brought them so far to receive, to step into. We need motivation. We need to put away things that tend to distract us and slow us down and make us not want to step into the promises of God and all that he has called us to be. We need to stir ourselves up. We need to encourage one another. Hey, when you're going through a hard time, when you're struggling in a time of transition, that's not a time to, like, castle up and hide in a dark room. We need to be open and let your brothers and sisters in Christ encourage you and reach out to you and pray for you and try to help one another to work up the motivation to keep moving, to keep going, to trust in the Lord, and to step into all that he is calling us to do and to be. Again, let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. God said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites." He says, look, you guys, I understand. God is dead, but y'all need to get ready. Y'all need to move. It's time to move on because the promise is right in front of you. But you guys have to be the ones that step into it. All right? Take a look at our memory verse, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Wherever you're going, whatever direction God has for your life, God will be with you. It may be difficult. It may look intimidating, but you can do it because God will be with you. Wherever he is sending you, he will be there with you. So don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Get up. Get yourself ready. Trust in the Lord. He is our motivation. He can bring us through anything. And then get moving. Look, people of Israel, God brought you through the wilderness. He brought you through all that stuff, the fiery serpents and everything. He can get you through this. He can get you across that river and into the land flowing with milk and honey. So you got to get ready and get motivated and get moving. All right. Sorry, I'm getting myself motivated. But our time is limited. We need to get to work. We got this moment. We got this time now. What can we do in it? Let's get going. What is God calling you to do? Even in this moment, even in this day, what is God calling you to do? What is standing in your way? You can think of that, but then look to God and see he is bigger and stronger than whatever that might be. He can help you through it. He can help you overcome it. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We need to get moving. So, what did I do? I was facing something that I was sort of called to do. It was very intimidating. I didn't know how I was going to do this. I was asked to officiate this funeral, and I really did not know what to do. So I prayed. That's always important. But I also did the other thing that seemed smart to do for a person in my situation. I called up Pastor Chris, and I explained the situation, and I said, hey, I really don't know what to do. And he gave me a little advice. It may seem obvious. It may seem just really simple, but it was profound and it was very helpful. I said, hey, I've been asked to do this funeral and I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he said, well, you got to preach Jesus. That's it. Preach Jesus. And I'm sorry that didn't occur to me before, but that's it. Those were the words that I needed to hear. Sometimes we can encourage one another and help us through these transitions. Preach Jesus. Those two words gave me perspective. It gave me direction. And it gave me motivation. Because when I stopped and thought about it, here I was. I was asked to do this funeral. So I was given the opportunity to speak to a group of people that I'd never spoken to before. I didn't know these people. I might never get the opportunity to share God's love with them again. But here I had this opportunity right now. What's the most important thing I could tell them about in this message? Jesus and his love, the gospel message Of course, I had to. What am I called to do? I'm a pastor. I serve as a pastor in a church. What direction am I supposed to be headed in? Sharing Jesus with people. Telling people about the love of Christ. Of course, that's the direction of my life. And this is it. That's all the motivation I need. These people are all infinite souls. They're immortal beings that God loves. He's given you the opportunity to stand in front of them. They've asked you. So here it is. Great, I can do this. I'm a little intimidated, but I know that God is with me. He will help me through it, and we can get through this. And so that's what I did. We sang Amazing Grace. I got up there, and I told them, this is a sad moment. I don't really know a whole lot about this person that's passed away. I knew them briefly, but I know that God loves them. I also know that they were born into a world that's been broken by sin. It's a world in which we face trouble all the time. A world in which we have to deal with pain and grief and sadness and hurting. And a world in which sometimes disease takes people at an untimely age, just like this person. But I know that this world isn't the end. That God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in him can have eternal life. Jesus Christ was alive. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins so that when we die, we can be with him in heaven. And he is alive today. He is the living Lord. He is our Savior. Amen. And I want all of y'all to know him. I hope y'all know him because he is the source of all of our hope, all of our joy, even in moments where we're hurting and we're sad. Moments like this, we can look to him and the hope that he offers, the promises he offers, that he is going to take us to be with him to a place where there won't be any more hurting, there won't be any more sorrow, there won't be any more pain, because the King of Kings, the living Lord, will wipe every tear from our eyes. And even more than that, it's not off somewhere in the future. Jesus Christ is with us today. He is alive today. He is available to every single one of you. All you need do is reach out to him. If you don't know him today, I pray that you would consider reading his word, getting to know Jesus Christ, because he loves you so much that he went to the cross for you. And he is alive today. He is here for you. He loves you. And I preach the gospel as best I could, because that's what I'm called to do. Well, praise God, it went over. It went well. And I got to preach the gospel to a bunch of people that I've never seen again. But at least in that moment, God led me to do the thing that I was put into that moment to do. Well, listen, y'all, you're going to face some moments where you are called to do things that might seem intimidating. You're going to be called to share the gospel, to share God's love with people. And it would be real easy not to take that step, not to do what you're called to do. You can just sort of sit on your hands and, oh yeah, no, I'll pass. I'll catch the next one. But no, be bold. Step up. Take a look at where you're at and what you've been through, how much you've experienced of God in your life. What do you know about him? And then, what are you called to do? What direction does God call you to in your life? And do you believe it? Do you believe in him? You're called to share that testimony, to tell people about how good God is, what he's brought you through, to share his love with people. People need that message, that good news in their life, especially today. So we need to be ready to face those moments of transition and to step up and to step into all that God calls us to do. All right. So, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy, but I'm telling you God can help you through it. God helped me through that funeral service. He was there when I needed him to show you how ill-equipped I was. At the end of the service, some of the family members spoke and shared their memories. We went through the standard stuff, and then it was pretty much wrapped up. I was getting ready to pray and dismiss, and one of the nice gentlemen that came with us from the funeral home sort of nudged me and said, "Hey, are you going to do the committal, or do you want us to do that?" And in my mind, I said, "What's a committal?" But what I actually said was, "Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much. Why don't you go ahead and do that?" And that was the part they stood up very professionally, like they've done it a million times, and said the ashes to ashes and dust to dust. We commit this body. And it was great. Way better than I could have done. So God provided me with what I needed when I needed it. God was right there with me to help me out. God will be with you through whatever he calls you to do. He will help you out when you're lacking. We just got to have the motivation, the courage to step into it and to give it a shot. So thank you, God. Thank you for helping me help us all through whatever you call us to do. So now, it's about you. What are you facing? What kind of transition are you facing? What is God calling you to do? What has God brought you through, and where is he calling you to go? Are you motivated to step into what God is calling you to do and who he's calling you to be? Today could be a time of transition. This moment could be a time of transition. At the end of service every week, we open up the front here and we invite everyone to come forward and spend some time talking to God. So you can transition from sitting in your seat to coming up and talking to God. You can transition from a moment of just receiving what this goofy guy has to say to talking to the true Lord God of all creation and talking to him about what is he calling you to do? Who is he calling you to be? How is he going to get you there and bring you through it? Every day can be a day of momentous transition. We just need to invite God into it. You are called by God. In this week that we are entering right now, you will face moments of transition where you will need to make a decision. Are you going to step into what God's calling you to do? Or are you going to just sort of continue on in whatever direction you were headed in before? Like I said, we always need to make sure that our direction is aligned with who he calls us to be. And I pray that you would have the motivation and the strength to step into what he calls you to do. I never in a million years thought that I would be in a position to be officiating a funeral. But God put me in that position. You never know what God might call you to do. Today, tomorrow, at any time, we need to be ready to step into it with him. He will be there with you. He will help you. So don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. All right? So come on forward. Let's spend some time talking to God. If you're watching online, spend some time in prayer. This is for you as well. Talk to God about who he's calling you to be. Take a moment to get some perspective. Where are you at? What has God brought you through? Are you in the place where you want to be? What direction do you need to head in order to get there? And then ask God, if you don't really feel motivated to step into that, if you're a little bit worried about it, ask God for the motivation to take that step, to reach out and take hold of the promise that God has for you. Because he does. He loves you. He will be with you no matter what. Whatever you do, don't miss this opportunity to spend a few moments right now talking to God. If you would like special prayer, please come within a few feet of the platform here. We'd be glad to pray with you. All right, but let's spend some time talking to God. Whatever you ask us to do,
Lord, we say yes, because you deserve it. You deserve all my praise. You deserve everything, Jesus. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Because you're here. All the joys I've got, Lord.
because of my ability, but you gave me that ability. See, my hallelujah belongs to you.
Hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
And I thank you, Lord, on this evening. Thank you.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, oh, oh.
Together on this evening.
Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for Leroy and our praise band. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Our God is a God of transitions. Do you know this? Yes. He even says himself, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." That's a transition. That's a change. We got two options. We can either find peace through transitions, or we can be uncomfortable whenever things change. Whenever we face a transition, we can worry and be stressed out and feel anxious and struggle. But then we're going to be struggling a lot because our lives are full of transitions all the time, especially in these times. Man, times are weird. We face changes and transitions every single day. I know from experience, I'm facing quite a few. We're getting ready to have another baby. My son is getting ready to go to school. We're facing tons of transitions. We can either worry about them and be stressed out, or we can find peace looking to God and knowing that he's going to get us through. We can start thanking him in advance for how he is going to help us through whatever change may come, whatever we may face. He's already on the other side of it, and he will help us through it. And then when people see the peace that we have through these times of change, through these uncertain times, they'll want it too. They'll ask you, man, where do you get that peace? How do you have peace through this time? And then you get to tell them, it comes from the Prince of Peace. All right? So we need to not have fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, but be aware that things are going to change. We're going to face transitions, and praise God that he will get us through any of them, no matter what they are. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much. We have done the three things that we do every time we gather, and we're going to do the three things that we do when we leave. I encourage you to make these three things a part of your week. All right, number one, connect with God. We need him. We're going to face changes. We're going to face transitions. God is there. We need him in those moments to help us through. So when things are in flux, when things are changing, look to God. That's the one thing that doesn't change. Amen?
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will help you through whatever you face. We just got to be connected with him. So reach out to him in prayer. Lift up some praise, even in the most tumultuous situations. Start lifting up a praise song and look to the thing that doesn't change, the source of peace. We can reach out in prayer. We can read his word, get in scripture and read the Bible. Connect with God in new ways. Step into connection with God. Number two, connect with other believers. Like I mentioned, we need each other. Sometimes we can encourage one another. We can provide each other with motivation. I'm facing some transitions, y'all. I might be reaching out to some of you to help me when I'm facing stuff. And how do we juggle three kids now? Oh, well, thank goodness we got some families in the church that have been there. We need each other. We can help one another, but we got to be connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is not limited to the people that attend Redemption Church. It's not limited to the people in this room. We can be connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the country, all over the world. They all need encouragement. We all need each other. Just make sure you do it. Connect with fellow believers. Number three, connect other people to the love of Jesus. That's what you're called to do. That's who God is calling you to be. We are the body of Christ. We are Jesus in the world.
Yes.
So can you step into that and go out and take his love out into the world and share his love with the world around you? This world is hurting. This world is going through all kinds of transitions. This world is grieving. We've lost a lot of people this year. It needs love. Can you take the love of Christ out into the world and share it with the people around you, even when it's uncomfortable, even when you might have to step out a little bit from your comfort zone? Can you share Jesus' love? I encourage you to do so. That's what we're called to do. All right? Those are the three things we got. First, Wednesday worship coming up this week. On Wednesday, it's the first Wednesday of the month of August. Praise God for another new month. We believe in giving God the first thing. So in the first week of every month, instead of our connect groups, we got first Wednesday worship. We get together and praise God and lift up some prayer together. We're going to be meeting at Pastor Chris's house and also online, I believe. So make that a part of your week this week. We love y'all. We hope to see you again here next week. Invite some people to church, even in this time. Let them know where your peace comes from. Have a great week. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.